Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to earnings conference call to discuss financial performance of Craftsman Automation Limited for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2023. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi, Chairman and Managing Director of Craftsman. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. It gives me immense pleasure in welcoming you all for the earnings call for the half year ended 30th September 2023. While Q2 has been a mixed bag as far as the economy is concerned and each of the markets are concerned across all the three segments, the powertrain, aluminium, as well as this segment, we have done well as a company on the consolidated basis. I just wanted to touch upon the key numbers on the consolidated sales. 2,217 crore has been consolidated. The breakup for that on the powertrain has been 776 crore, aluminium products 1,077, and industrial engineering 354. This means the company is getting more balanced on the segment-wise diversification what we have done in the recent past. EBIT has been 325 crore against the last year EBIT of 223 crore. The breakup for the EBIT has been 161 crore for the powertrain, 157 for the aluminium products, and for the industrial engineering 31 crores, and unallocated is 24 crore. The consolidated ratios on the financial performance I think has been very strong. Debt equity has been 0.86 on the consolidation balance sheet. Debt to EBITDA is 1.49. EBIT margin is 15% and PAT of 8%. With the ROC pre-tax annualized has been 24%. Now, going to the standalone, turnover has been 1,580 on for H1 against 1,447 in the previous year, compromising of automotive powertrain and others 776 crore, aluminium products 443, and industrial engineering 361. EBIT margin has been 230 crore. It is along the same line of last year, no much change there. The breakup for that is the automotive powertrain has 161, aluminium is 61, and industrial engineering is 31 crores respectively, unallocated is 24 crores. Net capex done for H1 is 258 crore. It is a mixture of expansion of each of the segments and also technological upgradation, modernization, and also automation. The key financial ratios for the standalone, debt equity is 0.81, debt to EBITDA is 1.72. This is inclusive of the 370 crore outflow towards the acquisition of DR Axion. EBIT margin has been 15%. ROC pre-tax annualized has been 19%. The major subsidiary DR Axion, the turnover is 635 crore and EBIT has been 95 crore for the first half of this year. The new important information is we are going ahead with the greenfield project very close to the mother plant in Coimbatore, which is 40 kilometers away. We have a land bank of 48 acres there, and we are going to create one more premises for all the three segments of the business going forward for future expansion, which is a mixture of the similar site of business and also possibly backward integration in some of the segments. With this, I will leave the floor open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Karan Gupta from Viridium Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. So my first question is related to the value chain part, which you mentioned a couple of times in your VRHP. So just try to focus on that. As we are in the entire value chain from designing to production, so I just wanted to know what the key differentiating activities we are performing to differentiate our value chain than our peer companies.
Okay. I understand where the question is coming from. What differentiates us from our competitors in the value chain?
Yes, yes.
Have I understood you right? Please.
Yeah.
I will touch on each of the segments. On the powertrain, while we are doing the machining activity, we don't have a foundry or we are not yet fully integrated on that side of the business. But we are owning the process knowledge of the machining with the in-house captive manufacturing for all the special purpose machines. And when you talk about special purpose machines, these are quite complicated equipment, starting from metal cutting, non-metal cutting machines like leak testing, washing, assembly stations, and things like that. Then there's also the design of the process, the breakup of the process, how we're doing from operation 10 to operation 100 or operation 120, how we design the process for quality as well as productivity, and we are able to adjust and accommodate the increase or decrease in volumes according to the customer requirement, and we are able to break up the small sub-processes for any incremental volume requirement of the customer. Then it comes to the quality front. On the quality front, the critical processes, we are able to manage the quality processes better because we control the tooling, we control the design, we control the process fine-tuning at our end. We are not dependent on any outside source on that. And we are one of the largest machine shops in the country. And because of our vast experience, we are also able to work very well with our foundry partners to improve the raw material or the castings front also for a mutual benefit. Now, the next situation is that when the prototyping needs to be done, we have such a large general purpose machine availability at our end that we are able to participate in the prototyping for the customer. The second important point is our vast experience in the cylinder block and head. We are doing around more than 1 million cylinder blocks now. Our capacity is around 1.2 to 1.3 million cylinder blocks, and also I think close to around 8,000 cylinder heads on the machining. We have come across various designs and various process related issues. We are able to give inputs to our customer during the design of a new product or point out improvements which can be done. Also improvements which can be done for the castings, better castability of the castings. So this explains the powertrain, and the last bit is that whenever the project is end of life, we are able to reallocate the machines to new projects. Even we are able to convert the special purpose machines. Suppose we own the special purpose machines, we are able to convert it, and if the customer owns it, we are able to convince the customer that the next project we may certain equipment can be modified to be using. So we are very effective on the CapEx front also. The last point will be on the general purpose capital equipment and the general purpose tooling. We are one of the largest consumer of these sort of machines in the country. So this gives us a large advantage on the scale and the flexibility to quickly implement a project and move it forward. So on the next segment of the business, on the aluminum segment, our aluminum history goes more than 20 years ago when we started an aluminum gravity and sand casting foundry for our export requirement. And now in the last 8-9 years, we have also been diversified into high-pressure die casting. Our tool room was making plastic dies, very critical plastic dies, as well as aluminum pressure die casting dies. Now we have stopped making plastic dies. So this tool, we are integrated that we are able to make the mold, we are able to do the casting. In the casting process, we are across all the technologies, most of the technologies, I would say, on the casting. And there's green sand, on the no-bake sand, gravity die casting, low-pressure die casting, and high-pressure die casting. Now we are also getting into counter pressure castings on the aluminium. And on the machining front, we are also similarly integrated on the machining front on the aluminium business, which we are able to capture the value stream across there, all the sub-segments there. In the industrial engineering, which has been the backbone of the company, which is also supporting the powertrain business and aluminium business, we are having contract manufacturing where we are able to customized products for our customers for different end segment use across a wide range of industries within the country and outside the country. So we are highly flexible and highly capable. So we are manufacturing very precision small parts up to also we are machining parts up to weighing 10 tons or 50 tons, 15 tons for highly complicated end-use applications. And for the industrial engineering, we got a design in-house design facility for our products, which is a design strength of almost 100 people, which is there. I hope this differentiates us.
Yeah. Got it. Fair enough. So being in the entire value chain, it gives us the premium pricing or reducing the relative cost per se? Anything or being in the value chain, what the extra cost we are bearing? Because from designing, prototyping, we are into the production. So being in the entire value chain, do we have any relative cost higher than the peer, or we are reducing this relative cost as compared to the peers?
When we want to have all these facilities inside the campus, definitely our fixed cost will be higher, but there is distributed among higher manufacturing capacities, so we are having the operating leverage there. And these capabilities and facilities also are mutually beneficial for the customer, so we get the first preference as far as the production order is concerned. The pricing is not a premium pricing. Pricing, we are competitive in the market, and it's a competitive pricing. I think our scale and our efficiency in operations and our in-house knowledge to manage the process is still only leading to the profitability with the larger operating leverage.
Okay. And for the raw material, if we are buying this aluminium raw material, so we are getting any benefit from the supply side?
No, there is a market free pricing market strategy.
So that's fluctuating.
The control is only the rejection percentage and our efficiency of operations inside. And we are carefully selecting the material too, so that we don't have much wastage of the draws and things like that. That is where it is. And our dies maintenance will lead to lower machining allowances. And a lower rejection percentage also means that consumption of material will be lesser. And the continuous running efficiently on the die casting machines or on the gravity is also leading to energy efficiency. And the manpower productivity with some automation is also leading to lower cost and higher efficiency of output.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Senthil Kumar from Joindre Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. In powertrain business, I could see a decline in EBIT on sequential basis over the last four quarters from rupees 101 crore to 77 crore in the Q2 FY24. What is the reason for that, sir?
The main reason for this, we have expanded capacity on the powertrain to a large extent. The new capacities are kicking in production on certain new segments of the business. It's still under startup production or in the PPAP stage. There are some things. Some businesses have started to mature. While this has happened, the existing capacities, mainly in the farm segment as well as to certain extent also in the commercial vehicle segment, has been underutilized because of the present market condition, I think. That is the reason the fixed cost has increased. So, and the fixed cost has a higher impact there. But our margins will come back to normal once the operating leverage improves. Our percentage of usage of the capacity is much lower as of now because we have increased capacities. The second point is the other most important factor is that we have also used this period of time to refurbish some of the equipment which are 8 years and 10 years old. So we are also seeing some impact on the repair and maintenance for the last two quarters, which is a good thing for the future where we'll be ready for full level of usage of these new equipment when the market requires.
Oh, yes, sir. And my second question is, can you give a breakup for domestic and export revenue for this quarter?
Yes, please. Export for Q2 FY24 has been totally 57 crore in the automotive powertrain, 9 crore, aluminium products around 13 crore, industrial engineering has been 35 crore. This is the breakup. This is the direct exports what we have done, where we are earning in foreign currency, but our deemed exports are much higher than this.
And lastly, sir, what is the status of the Brazil business, sir? Even the last con call you said, like, no, we don't have a visibility on that. What is the status of that?
Status of?
Brazil business, sir.
Brazil. Yeah, Brazil business, I think FY28 to FY29, we are well protected. Of course, there are headwinds in the market there. The economy is not doing well. I think that is also reflected in the Q2 sales. Actually, H1 sales is around 30% lesser for our deemed exports for Brazil, for Daimler. I think that will should pick up from Q4 of this year. That is their calendar year Q1, which is we have got additional requirements, but it's going to be depressed in Q3 also, as far as our Q3 is concerned. But the business, I think, is quite well set for FI until FI28.
Okay. Thanks, sir. That's it for my sake. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, is it possible share the details?
Mahesh, sorry to interrupt you. Can you please speak a little louder?
I'm audible now?
A little bit better.
Yeah. So, just wanted to know the breakup of our sales in terms of MHCV, tractor, two-wheeler, four-wheeler, and so on.
Oh, yes. I will just give it to you. I will talk about H1 and I'll not talk about quarter-on-quarter because it may be misleading. I think it is on the powertrain, the breakup is 57% on the commercial vehicle, off-highway 18%, the tractor 14%, and the SUV segment is 11% for the powertrain.
Okay, and aluminum casting and
aluminum casting for commercial vehicle is 7%. It's standalone because you know DR Axion is 100% on the passenger vehicle segment. So the commercial vehicle is 7% and two wheeler is 66%. Passenger vehicle is 7%.
Sure.
And we have other aluminum. Okay.
Sure. And sir, in terms of business outlook, both on domestic and export, if I had to look for next maybe 18 months, what kind of growth trajectory we see both on domestic and export?
I will go segment by segment on this to answer your question, please. And on the powertrain segment, we will be growing at low double digit or high single digit, because the base is high, number one. Number two, we are revamping our facilities to attack one new segment of the market, which is off-highway, which is a lot of potential is there for export requirement. As you know, our off-highway business is very small overall. While we continue to increase our exposure to the commercial vehicle business for overseas markets, directly or indirectly, this is a segment which has got lot of potential in view of the geopolitical situation and also the reduction of dependence on China. This is one major point. The last point is on the powertrain, there has been a lot of support from the government also for localizing the products which are getting imported. So this is throwing new opportunities, new inquiries. We are getting it very fast and rapid pace now. All this will translate into business within 2 years' time because the gestation period for approvals and the testing and the validation is a little long. And we are close to getting some very important businesses, which I cannot disclose now until we get the businesses, and but that will be coming into production in FY26 is what we look at in a big way. So this powertrain business will continue to grow at a rapid pace from FY26 onwards. Until then, it will be low single, double digit or high single digit. On the aluminum business, as I had committed, I think, 2 years ago on this matter, we are now on the ramp-up stage. You'll see quarter-on-quarter increase in top line, and still the base is small, and the aluminum usage across the country is increasing. And whatever order wins we had 2 years ago, all that is translating into now currently into businesses, actually in sales revenue. In the industrial engineering segment, there has been a pause on the storage solution business, especially on this H1. This H1 has been lower than last year H1, but I think H2 is looking very strong, and I think there's a lot of consolidation happening in the marketplace. So we are also bullish on that. And one good thing about the storage solutions is we are more and more getting bigger value orders on the automated storage solutions overall. And today our order book is very close to 100 crore on the automated storage solution itself, pending order book. And this is quite a complicated businesses, and we have got even a single order which is at more than 20 crore. We got two orders and one is close to 50 crores. So this means that the market is maturing, and we as a manufacturer also are well accepted, and we are able to bid and get for the projects. In the rest of the industrial engineering segment, I think we are highly capable as a contract manufacturer across all three segments of the business. I think the CapEx cycle, as and when it sets in India, Craftsman will be able to capitalize, because we are not having many peers in this sort of business in India, where we are flexible manufacturing of parts or sub-assembly for products which are for many end-use segments of the market.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yes, so good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. First question is, if you could provide us the outlook on CVs and tractors, given that you're working closely in that industry. If you could give us some sense on how MHCV industry is looking in the same next 1 year, and especially tractors also.
Sorry, Ms. Mukesh, I'm not able to hear clearly. Can I repeat the question myself so that I'm understood properly? You're asking about the potential business in commercial vehicle segment and in the farm segment going forward. Is that the question?
Yeah. From the customer point of view, how that industry is looking, basically.
Okay, I will give a broad outlook on the commercial vehicle. The developed market, whether it's North America, whether it is Europe or even China, I think the bulk of the commercial vehicles are sold are the real heavy-duty commercial vehicles. These are 11-liter and above. Even 9-liter, it is a crossover between a medium-duty and a heavy-duty. 7-liter is a medium-duty across these markets. In India, what is a 7-liter engine with, say, 250-300 horsepower is actually mentioned as a heavy-duty, which is not the case in the developed markets. And the gearboxes are 1,300 Newton-meter, whereas we are operating at much lower level in India. But our with the highways improvement and with the GST in place, there is no checkpost. We are evolving as a country that we want the freights to be moved faster, and the tonnage of the vehicles is increasing. The mid-segment all over the world is actually a vanishing breed, I would say. It is either small LCVs or it is big heavy-duty trucks. So value added per truck will keep increasing, but the truck segment is cyclical, is agreed, but the cycles will not be as vicious as in the past, because the replacement is now between 5 years. It's unlike 10 years or 15 years, the amount of average, the vehicles run on the per day, and the total of annual 125 to 150,000 kilometers they cover every year. So I think with the 600 kilometer life, with the practical overloading which is happening on the medium duty vehicles to for a heavy duty truck, I would say.
Right.
So that will lead to continuous buying, but yes, the segment will continue to grow, But I think next year it will be little soft, I would say. It will not be growing at a big pace. But I think that growth will come back in FY26.
Okay. Understand. Tractors, how do you think that's going to be, sir?
So tractor, we as a country, for both for agri and non-agri purpose, the tractor which is getting used for the transport of material, I think we are very near the peak what we can sell and sustain.
Okay.
But India is becoming a global hub for manufacturing of diesel engines as well as for tractors. Multinationals are setting up shop here. That will lead to growth for craftsmen.
Okay. Got it. And the other question is on the export businesses within the aluminium segment. You did mention that in the second half this year we'll start seeing some of those lumpy orders ramping up. So how are we placed there, especially to Europe, the exports to Europe?
You're talking about aluminium segment?
Within the standalone aluminium business.
Standalone aluminium business, our exports, direct exports are negligible, I would say, as of now. It is only our customers are exporting the products in a big way, totally. Not the product, not the end product, but the intermediary product, I would say. That is increasing.
But we had some direct exports that we were expected, but some of the orders will start ramping up.
That is for next year.
Okay. And just lastly, you mentioned about this backward integration. would that in any way help in the powertrain segment export orders? Because there was, even your annual report was talking about a lot of opportunity on the powertrain segment exports. So how would that backward integration help that, if at all?
The backward integration will be only, say, the 5 to 10% of our total requirement, because we are very large in the machining segment. We are working with our erstwhile foundry partners in a very big way. Whatever they can give, we are absorbing, and we are working together for both domestic as well as exports also. Either as tier one exports or tier two exports, both we are doing, we are open to working with them. We are augmenting that with the backward integration, surely. There is no choice now on this matter, because the market is so big in the potential side. And we with the very big base on the powertrain business, we are still going to have a high double-digit growth from FY26 onwards on the powertrain, with the combination of working with our foundry partners as well as some decent amount of backward integration happening there.
Right. So the question was largely looking at export opportunity on the powertrain segment, sir. Is there something there that we can expect?
Yes, you can expect that. I don't want to name customers without their
sure.
approval.
Sure.
But I think one of the biggest customers in all over the world, I think we are working together for that exports for their requirement in the in the powertrain business. Mm-hmm. I don't want to again classify.
No, we don't need any names, sir, but any timelines? I mean, are we looking at, say, F25, or is it going to be something beyond that F25?
No, it will be FY26, because these are these are bigger orders, and these are higher validation cycles which has to go through.
Sure.
But
understood.
We are on the right path of on the powertrain business. Powertrain business has got the potential to double or even triple in the coming decade.
Interesting, sir. Great. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Yes.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant, and please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you first share a couple of data points? One is the value add for standalone businesses as well as GRXM for the second quarter.
You want for Q2 value add?
Yeah.
Value add as a percentage has been approximately around 50%, sir. Totally.
47%.
For on a consolidation basis, it has been 47% value add.
No, you shared that data on business-wise, primarily rupees crore with value add for powertrain, aluminum, industrial, which is to share earlier?
Okay, just a minute. For H1, I think on the powertrain it is around 62% because it is a mixture of job work and with the machining. And then aluminum, we have the industrial aluminum and we have the auto aluminum, all as aluminum products, which is around 42%. On industrial engineering, it's 40%.
Okay. Industrial is 40%. Got it. And for the storage solution, what was the revenue for second quarter? And within that, how did automated storage do?
On the storage solutions, we have done 164 crore for H1.
H1 and automated would be?
The breakup for the automated. Automated has been 27%, if I'm right. No, so automated has been... Just a minute. Automated.
27% of storage. Got it. And coming to the export orders, particularly on the aluminum die casting side, where are we in terms of our ramp up for the Stellantis order which we have got? How far are we from ramp up, full ramp up?
See, we have seen some numbers in Q2 is still on the ramp up. I think the ramp up will be complete every quarter. I think is ramping up until the next 3 quarters. We expect that to peak only in the September quarter of next year. This is now mostly domestic and export has started. Export has started, indirect export started, direct export of the parts are not started yet. So that will be in the next financial year, as I answered the earlier question from the earlier participant. So we are on the ramp up side on the aluminium.
Okay, so this year we should be able to attain 50% of our peak revenue capacity, peak revenue potential of this order, or it will take a little longer than that, or it will be lower than 50%?
The number what the customer has indicated is very high, but we have discounted that number by saying that, okay, the market conditions in Europe are not favorable, but as what we see is the currently we are at a run rate in H2, the run rate is... approximately 500 crore on the standalone aluminium business. Okay.
Thank you. Jinesh Gandhi, sorry to interrupt you. I'll request to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Mumkush Mandlesha from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and happy festive season to the management. Sir, this quarter, other expenses have notably increased Q&Q. Any reason for a large increase, sir?
What expenses?
Other expenses.
Repair and maintenance, I think. We have taken a conscious decision to do repair and maintenance because some things were pending immediately. Something was not done during COVID and post-COVID we had a ramp up. I think we had a little sluggish, little slow Q1, Q2. I think that is the time we have done the repair and maintenance.
And that should normalize coming quarters.
Power expenses. Yes.
And that should normalize, sir, next quarter onwards?
Yes.
Power expenses?
Yes, it will normalize.
Okay. And, sir, the DRXM had a very strong growth Q&Q, about 40%. Can you indicate what led to a strong growth in DRXM, sir?
I think the fashion vehicle market in India has done well. And DRXN has also almost finalized the new order for Hyundai for the new Telangana plant, which is going to be operational in FY25. The same parts what we are supplying to their Chennai plant. So I think that will add another 10% of the or 5% top line growth for DRXN, 10% of Hyundai Kia business. Yes, Mahindra is also on the ramp up, so all of this has helped DRXN for the growth.
Just a last question on the CapEx side. We have done about 260 crore in the first half, and the full year we expect about 330 crore. So, should you see any higher CapEx than what we expected earlier?
The CapEx, whatever is planned, the 330 is the similar CapEx what we have envisaged for the existing plants. Now, we have filed also on the stock exchange that we are going for a new plant, and there we are going for additionally, I think, 150-160 crore CapEx in this year, and maybe in FY 2026, we'll go for another 100 crore. We have disclosed that. So this will be to... Yeah, we have filed for 102 crore CapEx for the year.
So then this year,
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant, and please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question so the management can address all the participants.
Yes, I will just complete that answer.
Sure, sir.
So with this number, we will be close to 480 crore with that add lot of capacity on for this greenfield project, which we are looking at housing all the three segments of the business, but mainly in the powertrain and aluminum business.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations for a strong set of performance in tough time. So first question on the powertrain, do you still intact the guidance of 15%-20% growth in the powertrain business in FY 2024, despite the higher inventory in the tractor segment and muted growth in the first half, around 7% only?
From the time of the IPO, I always said that we'll have a CAGR growth of 15%-20%, totally. So we may have grown more in certain years, we may grow less for certain years, but I think the next bigger growth will come in FY 2026, is what I feel. But if you look at from FY 2021 to 2026, still we will be in the 15%-20% CAGR growth on the powertrain.
So you have won the new business in OHT segment, in powertrain segment. So when it will start to reflect in the numbers?
FY 2026.
FY 2026. And my last question on this, RM supplies issue, as you are facing some issues of the iron casting side. So are you looking for the setup, some foundries, to sort out these issues?
We have not any issue on the RM side. I think we are working very well with the foundry partners. But I think all of you know that the capacities of India in the casting foundries is hardly 10% of China. China's the 50, is serving 50% of the global requirements. India is serving only 5% of the global requirements. That is very small. And the large foundry segment, wherever relevant capacities are required, we are not even 5% of the global requirement. We are some of the only, we have only 10 leading foundries in India. I think there is headroom for lot. We don't have enough capacities to capture the global market requirement. This is a fact.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Basudeb Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Most of the questions were answered. A couple of things, sir, what's the current-
Basudeb, can you please speak a little louder? You're sounding a little distant.
Yeah. So what's the current utilization in both powertrain and aluminum segment?
Aluminum, I think we are just touching around 80% now. I think we have, that is a good thing, and that is also leading to better profitability. The powertrain business, we are back to in mid-70s or early 70s because of the capacity increase, what is done. The new capacities have come into operation or started production, but I think the existing capacities have not been fully utilized in H1, the way it is. So we have the average operating capacity is only around 70% on the powertrain now.
Aluminum, 80 is including DRI?
No, standalone, it's around 80, but DR is slightly much higher. It is very close to 90%, but there was tweaking some capacity to take it 5-10% higher than what it has. So we'll have headroom with marginal CapEx for under 20% growth.
Under this background, you are planning a fresh CapEx, which you mentioned, where PT powertrain utilization is already impacting margin to some extent. So, where CVs, domestic CVs have done exceedingly well, this will be the third year, FY 2025 will be the fourth year. so high probability typical mean reversion happens after four good years. So do you see expanding towards CV dedicated powertrain business at current juncture?
As I mentioned earlier, our segment on the powertrain is not at all having much exposure on the passenger vehicle because it's mostly on the heavier segments what we are talking about. So now the exposure is very minimum on the off-highway and industrial engines, totally, on this segment, which is got huge potential within the country and for export. So that is where we are investing. These capacities are slightly higher size of equipment, not exactly equivalent to the medium-duty or heavy-duty commercial vehicle and this. I think these are heavier equipment overall. When I'm talking about large engines for, say, power generation or for off-highway vehicles, these are different parts.
And typically, what will be the fixed asset turn of this project?
It will be the same. I think we are looking at value addition portion of it around 0.6-0.7 or 60%-70% of the, we are averaging 60-70% of the gross block because the turnover will depend on the commodity price and we are doing the business in two ways. We are sometimes buying the casting, sometimes we are doing the job work. So we cannot have the, we cannot put on the turnover on the, in that segment. Okay. Only the value addition we can look at it.
Sure. And last small question, if I can put in. How much was the value addition for DRA separately this quarter or first half, what you were saying?
Value addition has been in the range of 35%.
35?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from Burman Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving the opportunity. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Excellent.
Thank you.
First question is regarding the aluminum segment, which saw pretty good growth. The growth on DR engine was slightly stronger. So first part to the aluminum segment question is, was there any one-off in the QOQ growth? Like, for example, it's possible that the OEM has more inventory piled up because I was seeing the wholesale numbers for Hyundai and Kia. It was not as strong as the growth that DR engine has seen. And is the margin sustainable at 15% EBIT, which would imply, let's say, 18%-20% EBIT? Is that sustainable? And the second part is, do you still maintain the 20% CAGR guidance that you had given originally on the aluminum segment on the FY24 base?
I will answer the two parts. It's actually two questions you asked me. One is Hyundai Kia, yes, the growth has been not corresponding to what DR Axion has grown. DR Axion has grown also on Mahindra, and DR Axion next year will grow on again Hyundai and Kia when FY25, the new Talegaon plant is going to come into operation. This will also lead to growth, which is around another 10% increased capacity is what is going to happen. Coming to the your second part of the question on whether the margins are sustainable with the sort of operating higher operating leverage and a single plant operation, yes, we can sustain the margins. The growth, at least for FY until FY26, is very clear. Yeah, I said. So on aluminum, it is going to continue even beyond that particular point.
I have one more clarification. It's not a question before I'm interrupted. So you had mentioned, sir, in answer to one participant's question that regarding the Stellantis order, you said 500 crore run rate in H2. Can you just clarify that? Because I thought the order was 200 crores.
Stellantis is 500 crore. I said the standalone aluminum business of Craftsman is for H2, is that got a run rate of 500 crore for H2.
Achha. Understood. Understood, sir. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vaishnavi Deshmukh from Yashwi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. So I have a question in relation to the debt side. So in the July con call, you have mentioned that debt should be coming down by at least 200 crores. Now I see there's a slight addition in the debt. and also with the CapEx that we have already aligned. So what is the outlook for that?
There are two things which had changed. One is the 375 crore outflow towards the acquisition of Dear Action, and I think that we have shown the results because of that. That debt is sitting on the Craftsman books, and we have not raised any equity on this matter. That is the reason for the debt increase currently. So we had guided for around 320 crore capex for this financial year, but now we see huge opportunity for the powertrain as well as aluminium business going forward because of the geopolitical situation and also the Make in India policy. There are various policies the government is bringing up to reduce the amount of imports on, and they are even bringing up BA standards and other standards, I think, for qualification. So there will be no dumping from other countries which are happening. So the capacities will not be sufficient. We started to prepare on that. So debt portion, I think we are, I had mentioned in my opening statement, I always maintained that we'll hover around 1.5 times debt to EBITDA on this matter. And we are at the current level. I'll just read out the ratios to you. On a consolidated basis, debt to EBITDA, we are at 1.49 totally overall. See, the absolute debt, yes, when you're going for the greenfield project, which we announced now, there will be some portion. Debt as an absolute number may slightly increase or come down, but I think the debt to EBITDA will continuously come down.
Yeah. Okay. On the second question, I have this on EV penetration. In the last call, you have also mentioned that it is very low right now. So are we seeing any improvement? Have we gotten any order in that front in the aluminium segment?
I think for the two-wheeler EV, we are a major supplier, at least for the market is concerned. But you know, the size of the EV market itself is very small today. So we having major chunk doesn't change anything for us. It is not a significant percentage of our aluminium business currently.
Okay. Just with the continuation of the last question one analyst has asked about the 150 crores that you say the capex would be done, it would come around in FY25, right?
No, it will be done in FY24.
It will be done, but the capacities will come around in commence from FY25, or it would be commencing in FY24 only?
It will come in start trial production in Q2, Q3 of next year. Trial production. Actually, revenues, you are right, it will come in FY26.
25, yes, yes. Okay, thank you. That's it from my side. I'll come in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Karan Gupta from Varanium Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. So, my question is related to the pricing terms. As you mentioned in the last call, and I also mentioned something related to the dumping of the products from China or Thailand. So is it also continuing as of now in this H1, or it will continue to S2 as well? Because the question I'm asked, because the margin is going down from 28% to 20%, which was the peak. Right, 28%.
Sorry, not audible at all. I'm sorry, I'm not able to understand the question at all. Audio quality is very poor, please.
Karan, can you please speak through the handset?
Yes, yes. Now, is it audible?
It's better. Yes.
Yeah. So, my question is related to the pricing terms. So, how we are competing on the pricing terms? As you mentioned in the last con call as well, that the China and from Thailand, there is a dumping of the products. Right, aluminium
products. Not from Thailand, I said must be from China only. Because China is the biggest manufacturer in the world. Thailand is negligible.
Okay. So, now what's the situation? Now, and how we are competing on the pricing terms? Or we have anything related to the working capital side we are managing currently so we can compete better?
No, I was just across, first of all, technology-wise, there needs to be capex investment done to compete with China. We are very, very small when compared to China. If you look at the foundry capacity, they are 10 times bigger. And relevant capacities, if you look at it, they're 15 times bigger, totally. So we have no comparison to China. Again, the economies of scale, when we are having 10 different manufacturing plants in India, one manufacturing plant of China is able to have more capacity than these 10 manufacturing plants. So this means the scale of operations advantage we are not having currently. So whenever we build up on the machining side, Craftsman has got the scale of operations. Now on the aluminum side, we are building up scale of operations. And whenever we are looking at the global market, we have to be on global size of the manufacturing. Otherwise, we cannot even cater to one customer on this matter. So it's not be viable to for any customer to source from us. So this is whether capacity comes first or whether order comes first is a chicken and egg story, which will continue. So we are bent upon trying to capitalize on this new situation. There's our three situations which has developed. One is the overdependence on China. The second thing is the geopolitical situation. The third thing is, of course, our GDP growth will sustain for a longer period of time. Growth will, because of the inherent economy and the average age of our economy and people here. The last point is that within Europe and North America, the appetite for industry work is coming down. I think the skilled workforce is coming down. Even semi-skilled workforce people are not available because these are developed economies. So there will be more outsourcing in India. I think the getting an order hereafter, and if we have the capacity, capability, and the competitive pricing, getting an order will not be a challenge at all.
Okay, so can you say the scale of operation which is providing the servicing variety of products?
Sorry, I think again audible, you're not audible, please.
Yeah, so when you say a scale of operations, so you know, providing various or variety of products to the customers, is that we can compete with China? Obviously, on the pricing terms, we can compete as the foundries and the scale.
Somebody was telling me that from a consultant in Germany, that all the 10 foundries, top foundries put together, I think there are one foundry in China will be bigger than that. And they have hundreds such foundries. This is what is the comment coming from there. So you can, this is on public domain. On the global requirement, we are 5% of the casting supply, and I think China is 50%. But the 50% is relevant capacity, and our 5% is somewhat, some of the capacities have become obsolete on lower end products. So I think there is a lot of headroom to grow.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking. On the scale side, or the pricing side, we can compete. That's okay. But anything we can do with the working capital or on the credit terms or the payment terms, no, apart from pricing, what we can do to compete in domestic market and for export as well?
I think payment terms, what we get from customers from export is perfect. We are not giving any long credit or we are not giving external credit. That is very, very clear on this matter.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Lionel Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
On taking this foundry opportunity, I mean casting side the opportunity, so you said we are working with the partners. So are our partners are also expanding the capacity the way you are projecting demand? And
yes, so they are also expanding capacity, and there is complementing capacity required. Some of the product segment in the foundry offering is very big. It is from a tiny product of, so say, 1 kilo and 2 kilos up to 10,000 kilos. Everything is foundry, totally. So I think wherever there is a gap in the capacity available, Craftsman is willing to invest and take advantage of the opportunity and grow.
So gap is which sector? I mean, a smaller foundry, I mean, casting or larger casting?
Sir, I think we are working with various foundries within the country. I think there are more than a dozen foundries, and 3 or 4 foundries are really, we are working very close with them on their capacities. We are aware of their plans, and we are in close touch with them. Wherever our foundry partners can supply the material for us as a tier 1 or tier 2 for export, we are not really getting into the business. Wherever there is no availability of this material only, we are thinking of getting into backward integration.
Okay. And talking of this backward integration, what kind size of capacity are we putting, and what kind size of the foundry that we would like, casting size will be say like 200 kg, 300 kg or a smaller casting?
Sir, we are not present in the aluminum business 8 years ago. Today, standalone aluminum business is close to 900 crore in this financial year totally. And what I wish to say is we will make in steps only. We will not make one big leap. And what we have mentioned now is for foundry and machining at the stage one investment only we have done. We will see how it goes. We will have our order book full before we make the next step. We have 50 acres of land available and site number two where machining, aluminium and industrial segment, all of it can grow. So we will make this capital allocation as and when required only. We will not make one plan and just build it. So okay, we are making the, we have got a bigger plan, but we are doing the modular integration or investments.
So is that clear, sir? My understanding is we are on foundry side, we are expanding on the aluminium side, correct?
Sir, we are expanding on aluminium side. We are looking at backward integration on the casting side, which I have been articulating in the last two earnings call, totally. So we are looking at wherever we can buy castings from the foundry partners, whereas we can work with the foundry partners as tier two, we are not investing for capacity. Wherever we see there is a gap in capacity available and there is an opportunity available for end use for customers within the country or for export, we are willing to invest for the foundry capacity.
Thank you very much and all the best, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just quickly to clarify on the capex of 480 crores which you mentioned for FY24. 330 crores for the existing capex which you have announced and 150-160 crores for the phase one of new greenfield plant. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Because in the press release they mentioned phase 1 to cost about 102 crores. So what am I missing over here, 102 versus 106 crores?
We are looking at is that we are investing at our the balance facility to complement that with the existing facility at our existing plant. Because we don't want to start all the different segments of the business in separate operation. Wherever we can house it in the current plant, that 50-60 crore we are housing in the current plant, but after that the plant cannot house anything more, the flagship plant.
Got it. That's very useful. Thanks for all the best.
Thank you much.
Jayesh Gandhi, do you have any follow-up question?
No, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Disha Seth from Anvil Shares and Stock. Please go ahead. Disha, we are not able to hear you.
Hello, am I audible now? Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, congratulations on good set of numbers. So I wanted to check on terms of margins overall at the time.
Disha, sorry, but you're not audible at all. Can you?
I'll change it. So in terms of margins, overall for EBITDA margin for the company.
Disha, sorry to interrupt you, but there is a lot of static.
Still? Hello, now? Is it better now?
We can hear you, but there's a lot of static in the line. Can I request you to rejoin the queue?
Yeah. Now I think I adjusted the wire.
It's still the same.
Okay.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from line of Vaishnavi Deshmukh from Yashvi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. So I have just one question left. As you mentioned this con call only that major growth will be coming in FY26 from the new orders and the capacities that will be coming on stream. So want to know what would be the guidance for you in top line and both consolidated EBITDA for FY24 and 25?
We never give any guidance on this matter. I think we'll be growing at a double digit this year, but it will be lower double digit.
Right. Or for this year, it would be a lower double digits. And for FY25, are you expecting of something slightly flat?
No, we'll be growing at high single digit or double digit, surely. what I'm saying is the new opportunity, I think suddenly we may go beyond 20% at some particular point of time. We've seen from the past, it is like that. We grow at 20%, 25%, 30%, then drop to 10%, again come back to 15-20%. But the CAGR has been between 15-20% if you look at it for a longer period of time.
Got it. And would we able to see any improvement in the EBITDA?
I think there is two things. One is the inflation and the second thing is the growth. If you are just growing at 5-10%, I think the EBITDA margins to sustain itself is very difficult because of the inflation. The second thing is, again, the EBITDA margin is a mixture of how much value addition we do. So we have to measure the EBITDA on the value addition, not on the top line, which will be misleading totally. So when we are saying that we are having a value addition of around, say, 50-odd%, and then on that we are having a 40% EBITDA, something like that, we need to take that into not on the top line, please.
Okay, thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Yes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi for closing comments.
Thank you very much for joining. I think there are many questions. I hope I have answered them to your satisfaction, but I thought I'll give a brief summary of whatever the questions I've asked for the benefit of everybody on this. I would say that on the powertrain, as I mentioned in the last two earnings call, that we may hit some sort of speed breaker where we cannot grow at 20-30%, and that is true. And because of that, we have taken this action of strengthening our relationship with our foundry partners, as well as I have been putting the foundation for backward integration where and when it's necessary, and the scale in modules, not in one big jump where it may affect our return ratios. We will be very cognizant to the fact that we need the ROCE, we need the return of equity, we need EPS. That is why we have not raised any capital also. We will not, our capital allocation will be very, very prudent. But what I wish to say is the powertrain business can double or even triple from the current level, provided we make the right moves at the right time, and we will do it in the steps. So we will see the growth trajectory on the powertrain growing. There will be a lull, that means a low double digit or a high single digit growth for this year and next year. After that, again, it will pick up in a bigger way. Whereas when we are doing for the powertrain business, we are sharing the facilities for the larger part machining. When it talks about 1-ton, 2-ton, 3-ton parts, these are parts which are having a complementary action with the industrial engineering segment. So we are not putting all the eggs in one basket. We are having two baskets, that the equipment and the foundry capacity, as and when needed, when you put it up, will be serving the industrial engineering as well as the powertrain business. In the aluminum segment, as mentioned earlier, now, as an overall segment, we are more than 50% on the passenger vehicle. So our dependence on two-wheeler has come down quite dramatically, totally, as a company. And now the third aspect which I wish to say is the EBITDA numbers or EBIT numbers, all of them are pointing towards a 40-40-20 sort of an mix between powertrain, aluminium and industrial engineering. Roughly, I will not say exactly, I mean, industrial engineering may be less than 20, but what I am trying to say is that the product mix has been now very good on the consolidated basis. We achieved that portion of it. Now, on the powertrain business by itself, our reliance on the commercial vehicle business will be coming down. While we continue to grow on the commercial vehicle business, you will see in the next, not quarters, the next few years, it will be a smaller percentage overall. We see that. Coming to the last important segment of the business on the storage solution, we see that on the automated solutions, our business will be growing much faster than the static racking, but both are complementing each other. Without the static racking, the automation will not sustain on its own. So that will lead to better opportunity going forward. So all the three segments we are well poised to continue to grow. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Craftsman Automation Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.